Hi, everyone. This is Pam Torrey from Engage, and you're listening to the Engaged podcast. We know tech is changing the way people market and sell now more than ever. And on this show, I sit down with sales and marketing thought leaders and experts to learn how you can create, share, and measure your way to success. Today, we're sitting down with Eric Brown, Director of Contractor Engagement at CertainTeed. Eric spends his days helping roofing and exterior contractors tighten their processes and choose technology that truly supports growth, never the other way around. In this episode, we'll unpack how to define clear business goals before buying software, the KPIs that prove your tech stack is working, and the practical steps that a $5 to $10 million contractor can take to turn manufacturer partnerships into a competitive edge. Thanks for joining us today, Eric. I'm really excited to have you here.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, we've been partnered with CertainTeed for quite a while, and it's always surprising to me just like how long it takes to get some of this stuff moving. We've wanted to have somebody from CertainTeed on for a really long time because, number one, you're such a great partner to us, but number two, you guys have been around for a really long time and have a lot of experience, and I feel like everything you're about to tell us will be applicable to our audience. So before we dig into the nitty-gritty of this conversation, can you tell us about your background? Like, how did you get into this industry and what led you to CertainTeed?
Well, actually, my very first job ever was working for a plasterer. So as a teenager, I worked in construction and just found it really cool, really interesting. I wanted to be an architect at one point. My father told me, you can't draw very well, so maybe you should be an engineer. So I went to school to be an engineer, and I started with CertainTeed in a manufacturing plant of all things as an engineer, and then worked my way into sales, into product management, and into some roles in senior leadership.
Fantastic. So it sounds like you've been there for quite a while and seen a lot of changes that have happened in this industry over time.
Absolutely. I've been here 34 years and the one constant is change, right? We all know that, but it's really amazing the change that has occurred, sometimes predictable, sometimes completely unpredictable, like COVID. And certainly I know people were predicting the downturn of 08, 09, but some others were not.
Very, very true that the only true certainty is change. So this quarter, we're really talking about the concept of the tech stack and trying to help our contractors to navigate kind of the thorny world of technology that exists today in the home improvement, home remodeling space. I feel like the feedback I hear from many of our contractors is that it's kind of overwhelming to look at the technology landscape. There are so many solutions. Everybody's telling you that you need to buy this tech. You must have this. But I've heard you talk about this before, and you talk about the fact that we all kind of need to take a step back before we dive into the technology. So before we really dig into the tools themselves or the tech stack, like, we need to establish baseline metrics. So what KPIs or metrics do you think that contractors should clarify before they begin really exploring tech solutions?
Well, first of all, I think they have to go back to having a business plan, right? Understand what you want to do with your business, where you want it to go, what your expectations are, and believe in it, right? Don't just have a business plan because you think it's important or somebody told you to do it. If you really want to succeed, you need to be able to believe in your business plan, and it needs to be the thing that drives the entire business. Then, of course, you can build out things like close rates, set rates for in-home appointments, those sort of things to create the KPIs that you want so that when you do implement a tech stack or technology, you're able to measure it, right? You're able to measure if it's really doing what you expected it to do. And I think that's, people rush in, they follow the hype, and there's a lot of really cool tech out there. There is. But it's not right for everybody, right? If you can't measure if it's helping you, it's not worth very much.
Yeah, I think that also digs into the fact that there are some solutions that you should implement before others. I mean, there really are some things that are like foundational to a business. And if you start implementing things that fit later in the process before those, you can kind of run into some trouble. So it really makes sense to get that foundation in place of, you know, why are you in business? What is your model? Are you one call close, two call close? Are you just roofing? Do you do whole exteriors? What's your goal? Like, you kind of need to be able to see the forest through the trees before you start picking out tech.
Exactly. Process has to be supported by tech, not the other way around.
So let's talk a little bit about process. Like, I've heard you say before that the sales process is a critical driver when choosing technology, that you need to know what your steps are, what your flow is before you can start implementing solutions to support that. So when you look at exterior remodelers, because you guys talk to so many of them, what steps do you see them most often overlooking? And how do you suggest that they go about tightening that process before they start sussing out solutions?
Probably the biggest issue is that the owner or the founder is usually a charismatic person that has just, you know, the X factor or whatever. They have something that not everybody has, right? So they overestimate that the fact that not everybody has that, and they don't build in the process steps that are important, because that the founder might have been able to do it without following all of those process steps. But if you're trying to scale your business, you're going to have to be able to figure out what those steps are. So maybe you might need a consultant to come in, or, you know, somebody else in the business you trust to help you look at that and understand what are those steps that you're missing. You know, you mentioned one or two call close, things of that nature. What is it that your business is going to try to do, and what are those steps that you're going to follow as you go through the sales process?
Yeah, I really want to circle back to that concept of like the owner-led process, because we see so many businesses where the owner is at a point where, you know, they want to get out of having to sell. They want to get out of that like day-to-day activity to actively sell, and they want to step back and be able to run their business. But, you know, they have institutional knowledge that new sales reps coming in don't have, or a new sales manager doesn't have. And it is so critical that they download that information somewhere. It needs to go into, I don't know, like video training, some kind of playbook, some step-by-step thing, because you're so right. Like, they might have secret sauce, but how does the brand new rep that you just hired, who's coming in fresh, repeat that when they don't have the experience?
Yeah, and the one other thing I've noticed is a lot of owners, founders have a difficult time accepting things that aren't 100% of the way they would do it. And really, when you're dealing with employees that are going to be making sales calls for you, you know, you really get a lot of scale and efficiency, even if they're only doing it 70 or 80% of the way that you would do it. So I think, you know, a lot of owners, you know, some guidance or advice that I've seen over my career, be willing to accept 80% good, because that's going to help you scale your business very, very well.
Yeah. My boss, our CEO, Dean Curtis, always talks about that. Like, 80% of the way there is great. 80% of the way is 100% good. Like, it gets you most of the way there. Also, we think about the type of people who end up in sales. Like, we think about their DISC profiles, the kinds of personalities that end up there. They often want to put a little bit of their own spin on the process. Like, they'll follow the steps, but you want to give them a little bit of latitude to infuse their own personality into the process.
Absolutely. And the more experienced they are, the more success they've had, the more you want to do that, right? You don't want to be too constricting in your sales process. But, you know, most owners can feel that out as they go through the process, or experienced sales managers.
So I want to talk about that owner or that sales leader that, you know, who's in this business, who is trying to tackle this concept of tech stack, trying to tackle the idea of bringing technology into their business. And I've been here for almost 6 years at this point, and I've seen a lot of these folks trying to go it alone. seen a lot of contractors out here who feel like they have to do the assessment of tech solutions by themselves. But what's so great about this industry, something that I think is really special about it, is that we do have these wider networks, whether it's through a sales coaching organization, an industry organization, you know, whether it's through your manufacturer. There are a lot of people out here kind of doing the work for you, so you don't need to start from scratch. And at CertainTeed, I've noticed that you guys rarely build anything completely from scratch. You're rarely asking your contractors to do anything completely from scratch. You're trying to partner where it will speed up that time to value. So when a contractor picks up a solution that you recommend, they can start seeing value out of it almost immediately. So how do you, as one of the largest building product manufacturers out there, go about assessing the criteria that a vendor needs to meet in order to become one of your partners, in order to become a solution that you would recommend to that contractor in your network?
Well, first of all, they have to be great at customer experience, right? That's critical. Having our contractors at the core of what we do, it's very important that these affinity partners or potential vendors have a great aptitude for producing a great customer experience. Then they have to be passionate, right? You have to be passionate about what you're doing. The two generally go hand in hand, right?
We hope.
That they're going to be able to accommodate a great customer experience if they're passionate about what they're doing. Then, of course, for whatever discipline we're talking about, we do a scorecard with a lot of feedback. First, in up front, we do a lot of research with contractors in our pool of top contractors that worked with those affinity partners in the past and make sure we know what we're getting into. Then we have a variety of meetings. But it's really about identifying the needs of the contractor, where they're struggling, where they're having difficulty scaling, and finding those affinity partners that are able to do that in a very effective and efficient way, but while giving great customer experience and being passionate about what they do.
Yeah, I think it's just so important for the contractor to realize like how much work goes into choosing the affinity partners that you have in your network. I mean, we went through the process. It was a lot. There were a lot of steps in there to make sure that, we were the right partner to bring in. And it's just such a helpful thing to remember for these contractors. Like, someone else has already done a lot of the vetting. Right. Any of the partners that you're recommending, like, you've already vetted them and you've made sure that it's an easier experience for them to get up and running than if they went and had to go pick something completely on their own. It's just like, let's use the networks that we have at our disposal to try to make things easier, because it's hard enough to do business today without having to go it alone.
Agreed. And we even have regular contractor advisory councils and top contractor advisory trips where we glean that feedback from them, right? And they have conversations during those meetings, and they are in that situation. It's exactly what you're talking about. They're able to use their fellow contractors to get some additional input on who's good at what.
So I want to talk about feedback, because I've talked to some of your territory managers, I've talked to your crew who works with your contractors, and you guys have more conversations with contractors than almost anybody that I connect with. So you're getting access to tons of feedback about necessary gaps in the sales and marketing tech stack, things that are really causing pain for the contractors in your network. So can you give us a concrete example of how contractor feedback led you to search for a new affinity partner or assess a new affinity partner?
Well, certainly in-home selling is a big one. We've talked about that earlier today, and that certainly was a reason that we became involved with Engage. We were getting a lot of feedback that companies, contractors did not have a very good process out there, and that's what Engage really provides, and it's scalable. You can start small and build it to a very customized solution. There have been other ones. Another example would be contractors weren't born to deal with insurance adjusters, right? That's not what they
that
were.
That is not their skill set.
Right. So, you know, there was a lot of apprehension, lack of confidence with contractors dealing with insurance adjusters, because insurance adjusters come out very confident. They've been given a script. They've been communicated and educated on exactly how to handle storm issues. So, you know, that was another place where we realized we needed to try to help our contractors. And we went out and were able to provide that solution for them.
Yeah, it's always so interesting to me, because I spend all day long dealing with technology and dealing with, you know, the in-home sales side of things. And sometimes I forget that, like, a lot of our best contractors come from the production side. You know, they come from that side of things. They're really skilled at putting a roof on a house, or they're really skilled at solving those particular issues with the home. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, this is so obvious that you would do these things in the in-home sales process. I think, like, we forget that we need to go ask, what are the pain points you're actually experiencing? Because our assumptions are often incorrect based on our backgrounds.
Right, right. With uncertainty, even, you know, we have manufacturing and we have sales and we have marketing and we have R&D, and it's the same situation. When you're in something every day of your life, it's very hard to put yourself in the shoes of another part of your business. And that's exactly what you have to do. And you're correct, too. These contractors, a lot of them started on the production side, right? They were swinging a hammer, and that doesn't always lend itself to being good at the sales process side of it, being good in the home. Sometimes it does, and sometimes that's the side they come from. But whatever side you come from, you need help getting the expertise in the other side of the business.
So let's talk about when things go wrong. Because, you know, sometimes, even with the best of intentions, you know, we're out here, and this has happened at Engage before, where we implemented a tech solution thinking that we were ready for it, thinking that we knew what we were doing, but it turns out we had not sussed out the proper process to support that tech solution, and we had some problems and then had to course correct. So I'd love to know if you have a memorable story of a time where a contractor really skipped sort of the foundational elements that we talked about. You maybe they even skipped the full assessment process. And they jumped ahead, they just implemented a tech solution, and it just wasn't the right timing. What happened there?
Well, I can tell you what happened, but I can't tell you it was just one, right? That's probably part of what I want to explain, is there are a lot that blend together. Mm-hmm. And it's really that compulsion almost. Everybody else is doing it. It's getting all the publicity. Everybody's talking about it. So we need to go out and buy something. Right. We need to go out and buy it. And they go out and buy it, and then it doesn't perform. And then you ask them, well, what are your metrics? And they don't even know. They don't even know. They didn't set up the process in the forefront. And please don't think I'm saying this like CertainTeed's never done this. We certainly, like Engage, have had implementation of technology that hasn't gone as well as we expected it to. But we've had some really good, overall, we have really good IT implementations. And that's because we've learned some of these lessons. You have to know what you want it to achieve and what the process is before you put it in place. Then you have to measure it from go live. You have to measure that it's doing what you expected it to do from go live. And if it's not, you have to have a contingency plan in place.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about measurement. Now, I imagine, based on what we said at the beginning of this conversation, that the KPIs are probably pretty specific to whatever part of the process the tool is addressing. But, you know, what are some top line KPIs that you think are generally, you know, measurable from implementing technology for the sales process? And moreover, you know, do you have any best practices for our contractors and how they can track that? Like any solutions that you guys recommend?
So, best practice is always keep it simple, as simple as you can, right? We try to complicate everything we do. Keep it as simple as you can. One of, you know, a high level understanding or metric that is really important in my mind is usage. Mm-hmm. Are people using it? And are they using it without being incentivized to use it or being directed to use it? And then I would say the other one is easy adherence. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you need multiple people to do things like in a CRM, if you have people that you're handing it off to get a quote or whatever, you know, is the adherence easy throughout the entire process? Are the different people involved able to easily and quickly move those sort of things along so that it's not a bottleneck at one particular point? What we find quite often is there's usually one bottleneck, right? One area where somebody goes, you made it easier on everyone else, but you made it harder on me, right? And that's where you want to make sure you're seeing those things and addressing those things up front, because that often can become the place that makes the whole tech break down.
Most definitely. I think complexity is often very attractive. It's often very attractive because we all want to be measuring everything and being everything to everyone. But Right. It also can lead to a lot of problems and can frustrate many people in the process. So let's talk about smaller contractors, because I know that you guys really have a great relationship with a lot of smaller contractors who want to grow. You know, they are looking to become a force to be reckoned with in their area. You know, they're selling a premium product, so clearly they want to become a premium company. But with a lot of these contractors, as we've mentioned, the owner is still kind of in every facet of the business, especially in sales. You know, they're out there taking calls. They're out there like being the face of their company. So when you're still a small contractor, let's say you're in that like 3 to 5 million range, the owner's still in the grind, still participating in daily life. How can an owner use technology to scale themselves without sacrificing customer experience? Are there any like specific tech tools that can just help with efficiency?
Well, certainly we talked about Engage already, but I'll mention it once again. You know, setting up a sales process that you can hire somebody and teach them pretty easily and is repeatable is certainly one that is a big deal. But stepping back for a moment, you know, from a smaller contractor standpoint, the one thing I think they have to understand is don't bet large, right? In this case, you know, maybe in other cases they want to bet large, but then that's on them. But with tech, you have a lot of resources, as you've mentioned, we've mentioned before, you have a lot of resources to get some good indicators on what good tech is. Use them, you know, go do that. But then prioritize with your business plan. If you want to grow only to a certain level, or if you want to grow to be a multi-branch outfit or eventually pass it on to your children or sell to your employees or sell to some bigger entity. You know, within that, plan out what you're going to do and then prioritize the technology that you need to have to be able to scale to do that. And usually that's around sales, but it might not be. You know, it really might not be it. And it's also part of the skill set of the owner. We mentioned, which side do you come from, production or sales? If you come from the sales side, you might be very good at sales process and not need quite as much technology in the sales side of it. You might really need more help in the operations side of it. So, you know, those dynamics are very important for owners to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's definitely something that we see often is owners of small companies taking really big swings. And, you know, I respect it. I respect the hustle. I respect the drive, but it's not always the most effective use of their time or effective use of their resources when they could be taking a smaller bite and really getting efficient with that smaller solution. So, as we head into 2026, you know, we're in this last quarter of 2025. I cannot believe I'm saying that out loud, but we're in the last quarter of 2025. As we head into 2026, what tech trends are you watching for exterior remodelers? Is anything really, you know, just calling your name as we head into next year that you think is going to be important?
Have you heard of this thing called AI?
I mean, just a little bit. It's kind of everywhere.
I guess it's so 2024 or whatever, but AI is definitely just going to continue to accelerate the usage, the various ways you can use it. You know, from my standpoint, you know, just a little bit of a caution. Be careful, you know, because it is two ways in most cases. You want to make sure you're following your cybersecurity, whatever that is. But, you know, AI is going to be a big deal, and it's going to help with so many things, like writing some of the language you use in your in-home selling, right? That's a huge opportunity for improving what's in your sales process. Now, I know Engage can help with that too, but that's the whole thing, right?
Well, we actually have ChatGPT integrated into our product to help you with that. So, you know, we see it too.
Right there.
It's really important.
Yes, yeah, it's critical. And even in your correspondence with vendors or manufacturers or whoever, it's an incredible tool to use to be able to write better and convey your message better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that. So I'm a writer. I have humanities master's degrees. It's something I really like doing. But I find that regular spell checkers are not smart enough to correct my mistakes, because my typos often tend to be other words that are actually, they're correctly spelled. They're just the wrong word. And I find that like ChatGPT does a better job of catching all of that. It does a better job of understanding the meaning behind what I'm trying to say. And it's just so much faster. Like, it saves me so much time to use a tool like that to do something as simple as a spell check, you know, or a grammar check. It's just polish.
The other areas that I see coming into play is more integration of different tech stack items, right? You know, there's been CRMs, there's been measurement, there's been in-home selling, there's been quoting, there's been the operations side of it. And then the, you know, all the little nuances like storm work, getting that all together so that it works together. I think that's what you're seeing already, you know, with some of the consolidation in the technology area of it. But I think that will continue to accelerate too. And that's really back to what we've been talking about with effectiveness and efficiency throughout this entire podcast. That's where contractors need to get to. You know, how do I make this easy, simple, effective, and efficient, able to scale without burning myself out?
So, Eric, before we wrap up, I want to know, what is one trend that you think contractors cannot ignore in this last quarter of 2025? One thing, like, if they're only going to do one thing in this last bit of the year before we head into 2026, what is the one thing that they must pay attention to?
So the market is not as robust as it was 6 months ago or 9 months ago. I think they have to focus on differentiating themselves through strong processes, and after that, using technology to affect those processes to become more efficient and effective. That's really it. They have to differentiate their business based on being better than their competition by doing those two things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, it's been something I think I've mentioned in every webinar and every podcast I've done for the last like 3 to 6 months, is just the amount of consolidation in the space. And that you, if you're an independent contractor, you are almost always going to be going up against some kind of private equity. Almost always. Like, it's, they're in every market now. You can't avoid them. And so how do you differentiate yourself? How do you show why you belong in this space in your market? You have to be thinking about that. I think it's so critical.
Absolutely.
Well, Eric, this has been a joy. Thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to learn more about you and your team and what you're up to at CertainTeed, where should they go?
CertainTeed.com.
Fantastic. We like to keep it nice and simple. And we are just so fortunate to be partnered with you and your team, and really look forward to what we're going to do at the, you know, for the last quarter of this year and into 2026.
Thank you so much, Pam. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to the Engaged podcast. Be sure to visit engaged.io for more information on how to create, share, and measure your way to success. If you love the Engaged podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time.